Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Well, again, I hope you strongly consider taking the over last night, because that was absolute chaos. It really was. But nonetheless, the Avs take game one. Joining me to talk a little Colorado Avalanche, the one and only Darren McKee, better known as D-Mac. D-Mac, my friend, always appreciate times we can get together, man, and appreciate your time on the program.
No problem. I'm here at Ball Arena, the scene of the slaughter in terms of scoring last night, as the Avs have a optional skate. So there's just a couple of fellas getting some work in. There's Curtis McDermott. There's Mikko Sturm. Some of the fellas that just aren't playing all that much. So like I said, optional skate to the Avs today. And we heard from Jared Bednar, and he made a very profound comment. He said, you can't win games giving up six or seven goals. And there you go. I mean, we can break it down for all you puckheads out there.
I mean, you're exactly right. At the end of the day, that many goals. I mean, what are the chances you're going to score, you know, between two teams, going to score 14 goals between the two? It was absolute chaos. What did you think on that? I thought it was crazy when I looked at the over-under that it was seven. I thought, okay, we're expecting a lot of goals here. Wasn't expecting almost double that, though.
Well, I'm not trying to brag on myself, but I made a prediction that each team in every game this series would score at least three goals, and that the winning team, whoever were to win, would score at least six goals, meaning I did predict before the game yesterday there would be at least nine goals a game scored in this entire series. Now, I might make some slight adjustments to that because the teams are making some adjustments, because both goaltenders are kind of iffy right now. Smith is iffy for the Oilers, if they're going to put him back in there, and Kemper certainly is iffy for the Avalanche. So, you know, I retain the right to amend my prediction based on changing circumstances, but you have an incredible high-flying team with the Oilers with one unbelievable dominant line, and you had a goaltender with Mike Smith who just was kind of shaking it all over the place. So who knows? You may see a goaltending change for both teams to start game two. And likely that would tighten things up, because likely both teams would play significantly different under those circumstances.
D-Mac, what can you tell us about Darcy Kemper at this point? I know you were in the press conferences moments ago listening to Coach Bednar talk about Darcy. What's the situation there? When might we know something as far as his availability for tomorrow night?
Well, things are super hush-hush when it comes to the NHL in general, but certainly especially in the playoff time. So there's a lot of speculation, Brady, that it's, there's problems with his eye going back to the National Series. But I don't have anything to confirm that. All we do know, and Bednar did admit today that, you know, it was Darcy who made motions and signals to the Avalanche bench that he was having a hard time in there. And so Francois was able to warm up a little bit before he went in. And the reason why Kemper didn't come out immediately was the Avalanche were on a power play. So there was enough time, even though, you know, Darcy wasn't feeling all that hot at that moment, there was enough time to reasonably have Francois warm up a little bit. And that's why what happened. That was that process, as they say in Canada, in order to get things done. So there was, and it was, by the way, it was completely unrelated to Kemper coming out to start the second period late, as a strap on his pads broke, and that was simply an equipment issue. It had nothing to do with what was going on. So Brady, it's concerning, because think about this for a second. I mean, what exactly happened between the start of the second period and when Darcy had to come out? Like,
right.
What happened there when there wasn't any obvious contact, there wasn't any obvious hits, there was nothing going on that, you know, could, that really stands out. So I think the deduction that it may be something to do with his eye, I mean, it's reasonable. I just can't confirm it.
We're talking to D-Mac of The Drive on The Fan. And yeah, it is. I know you were vocal, D-Mac, in that St. Louis series. You had talked about, hey, do you make a change? Do you do something kind of interesting here with your goalies? And then I was thinking about you last night, dude. That's why I was like, I got to reach out to you. Because regardless of the eye, if everybody's ready to go, that's going to be an interesting conundrum for Jared Bednar. If Kemper is ready to go tomorrow, what do you do? Do you go back with the guy that got you there, or do you change it up?
They'll 100% go back to Darcy Kemper. Okay. That question, I think it's a good question. I asked it. And I don't see the goaltending situation the same as a quarterback. For example, Mike Smith was terrible for the Oilers in game one against Calgary. They just put him back out there in game two. It does happen in hockey. Every now and then, you're just having a bad night. It doesn't mean you have to be benched forever. And I was just feeling in game six against St. Louis, like, hey, maybe Kemper just needs a little bit of a break here, you know? And it doesn't mean he couldn't play in game seven or he couldn't start in game one of this series. I just view it differently. So, but listen, I asked Bednar that, and he unequivocally said, you know, Darcy would go as long as he's good to go. And they weren't even considering really a change with Francois.
Interesting.
Kemper is Brady, let me tell you, Darcy is a better goalie than Frankie, okay? He is. If everything's the same. The question is, to what degree do things change where Frankie is a better option? That being said, Frankie is a good option. He's just not as good as Kemper in total.
Well, and I liked your point, too, when you made this, I don't know, a week or two ago, and it wasn't necessarily about who the better goalie was. We always talk about this in hockey. We talk about it in baseball, too. Who has the hot hand when it comes to pitching? Who has the hot hand when it comes to goalkeeping? You see that sometimes. Even though collectively Kemper's the better goalie, maybe there's a guy you could try out that might have a hotter hand in that moment. And so I actually liked the point. I thought it was interesting at the time, but I was certainly thinking about it last night.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the good news in a bad situation. You know, Francois has played enough that he has everybody's confidence, okay? It's not like people don't believe in him. I'll give you something, though, in case that Darcy can't go or whatever happens. Philippe Annunen, who played for the Eagles, would be the next guy in line. He is third in line. So you come, and he played a lot for the Eagles. In the playoffs, they lost to Stockton recently. I think they made it to the semifinals or something like that. But there's a lot of belief in him too. So it may not be quite as simple as just Frankie. You know, you may have to look at it really long and hard in terms of all of your options. And wouldn't it be something if a goaltender for the Eagles, their star, ends up playing a significant role here? You know, in the Western Conference Final. How crazy would that be?
That's what I love about the situation, too, with the Eagles and the Avs now, is you could be watching a guy regular season or playoffs, and then the very next night you could see him playing for the Avalanche. So I think that's really a fun cross promotion for both teams in the area. D-Mac, how uneasy were you uneasy at the end of the day? It was a win, 8-6. The Avs walk away. They got game one under their belt. Were you uneasy with how this thing went down? I mean, you had a 4-goal lead at one point in time. We knew it was going to be crazy. It's never say die in this league. I get it. But I walked away going, why does it feel like the Avs stole one away when they were up by four goals at one point?
Yes, Brady, I was terrified. I've been pointed out that I personally had cursed them in game five by saying it was over with a 3-0 lead.
I saw that tweet.
I know. People are killing me on that. So it was 7-3. It was 7-3,
right.
Brady. And I felt like, oh, you need one more. You know, you need one more here. And boy, that was proven true, by the way, because if they don't get that empty netter, and they just allowed the Oilers just to stay in their zone. I mean, I'm going to guess the Oilers would have tied it up. And so they got the empty netter. 8-6 is the final. Okay, you can take a breath. But there's a bizarre unease with the win, which is odd considering you won. But there was dissatisfaction from Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar after the game. Listen, they know they kind of got away with one, okay? Now, offensively, they played fantastic. You can't be critical of what they did offensively. But defensively, it was kind of a nightmare. So you may see changes. For example, Ryan Murray hasn't played forever. but maybe he's a better option than Jack Johnson, for example. You may see tweaks with the lines for more defensive purposes than offensive purposes. You know, I don't. First of all, this series isn't over by a freaking long run, and it's something to watch, Brady, too. This is the third series in a row where Edmonton has lost the first game, only to bounce back. So to stop them from bouncing back, maybe the key in this whole series, which would be tomorrow night here in Denver.
Yeah, no question about it. In the sport of hockey, I think it's interesting. You know, if you're the Broncos, if they're up by 14 or whatever, let's run the ball, let's grind out some clock, let's put this thing away. Hockey's always interesting to me, man, because you see it, you have a big lead. You see them maybe relax a little bit, but it is difficult. What was it about last night? I mean, we always say that, you know, we have the adage, they took their foot off the gas, so to speak. But is there anything specific, D-Mac, that you can point to that you saw, especially in that third period, where it's like, wow, they're not as aggressive as they were in those first two?
You know what's crazy, Brady, as I've been on the road with them for the entire playoff series? There is something about being at home and a tremendous crowd here at Ball Arena and the excitement of it. I think that has a factor. I think you just get a little bit too comfortable. Whereas when you're on the road, I mean, it's intense start to finish because nobody's got your back. Nobody's supporting you. There's no reason to think it's not us against the world for every moment on the home games. They've actually been really good, 5-0. On the road, and arguably better, on the road than at home. And you know, this is some deep psychological crap right here. But that may be the reason. But I mean, you give up they've given up big leads at home. I don't know. It's hard to put your finger on. But they're watching tape. They're going through their process, and I think they'll figure it out because at the end of the day, Brady. It's Edmonton who's the Cinderella in the series, not the Avalanche. And, you know, the clock will strike midnight, and they'll all turn back into the ugly orange pumpkins that their uniforms declare them as such.
Man, I love getting you on, too, when you're there. I love hearing the ice and the sticks in the background. I love it. It's fantastic, man. It's great.
There you go.
How's this going down? What do you think? How's this series ending?
I think it'll go two ways. I think it will be Avs in, say, five or Avs in seven,
okay.
Something like that. I think it'll be relatively easy or it'll be an unbelievable dogfight all the way to the end. And I think there'll be good, close, competitive games top to bottom. But if the Avs kind of keep rolling, what happens inevitably if teams get down, 3-0, right? I mean, you know, maybe you win a game emotionally. Maybe you don't. I think a lot of it will be determined by. How about this, Brady? If they win tomorrow night, the Avs in five. If they lose tomorrow night, Avs in seven. How about that?
I like that, and I like what you said. Tomorrow's a huge game, and the fact that they've been better kind of on the road than they have at home. So if you can take care of home tomorrow, then based on what we've seen so far in the playoffs, we like what you can go do in Edmonton. So I tend to agree. You take care of business tomorrow. I think it's a short series, but time will tell. How many? What's the over under tomorrow? Have we put it at 8 or 9? I mean, I'll be curious to see what that line's going to be.
I think it's at like 7.5.
Oh,
right
it
now.
Is okay.
It's crazy, but I've predicted. Well, now we get this goaltending situation.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'll just put it at 9 goals. You know, I'll stick with my original.
I like it.
My original prediction. By the way, a fun nugget for you. So Jay Woodcroft is the Oilers coach, and he's over at a hotel there where the Oilers are staying. And at the end of his presser, he was asked about the intimidation factor here at Ball Arena. And he said the crowd wasn't intimidating at all to our team in any way.
Wow.
So there you go. There's a little juice for some Avalanche fans out there. The head coach of the Oilers said about you, no big deal. You know, we played in other places. Don't worry about it.
What do you think about that? We saw what St. Louis did with some bulletin board material, and their coach was like not wanting to talk about stuff. This is interesting. Why would you add more? Because now the fans are just going to come out even more crazy, more chaotic than normal.
Well, listen, man, it's, you know, it's Canada. They got some pride up there in Alberta. I mean, they just finished a series against the Flames in Alberta. I mean, I would challenge the Avalanche fans to know that was said, and we'll see what you do with that information.
All right, I like it. I'm writing it down so we can use that all day today. Let's fire everybody up, man. D-Mac, appreciate you. Hey, it was great to see you in Denver at the CBAs a month or two ago, man. Absolutely awesome, dude. It's so cool to get to know you more and more, man. Appreciate you.
It was great seeing you. You took me aback. You were all dressed up and you were quite handsome.
They wouldn't
and,
let me wear beautiful. Sweats for some reason. It's kind of made me sad.
No, I didn't recognize you right away, but yes, you cut a stunning figure there, Brady Hall.
Well, I appreciate you, dude. D-Mac, my friend. Hey, and I'm just sorry to hear about your brother, man. And again,
I appreciate it.
Here
Thank
for you.
You
if you need anything, okay?
Appreciate it. Thank you, Brady.
All right, man. Have fun with this series, okay?
Okay, thank you, Brady.
All right,
Bye.
There he is.
Bye.
D-Mac, great guy. Got to know him over the year, last couple of years, maybe the last year or so. We've tweeted back and forth and had breakfast with the guy last summer, picked his brain a little bit. Excellent guy. His brother passed away, and his name was Brady, too. So we've talked about that. My brother passed away 4.5 years ago. So, again, just thinking about that guy today. And, man, he's had a fun job with this Avs coverage. As the Avs. Okay, so it's 7.5, Jades. 7.5. Are you shocked that it didn't move a little? It just moved. It was 7 yesterday, the over-under for this game, for game 2. 7 yesterday. We've gone up half a point, half a goal, half of a goal.
7 goals is still a lot.
It's a lot, but after 14, I thought maybe that's good enough to move the needle to 8. And if we have backups in tomorrow, which we possibility could happen there. Frankie could be the guy for the Avs. I mean, Bednar's not saying whether or not we're going to see Kemper. I thought it might go to 8. It was funny, dude. I had the 7 2 minutes into the period. It's crazy. Second period. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. You're listening to The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. I got my Method Flow Products poll question of the day. If both goalies are healthy, do you consider a change? Darcy Kemper's the better goalie. There's no question. For me, it's Darcy, but there are some that are like, were you a little rattled with what you saw last night? And again, in Frankie's defense, you're putting him out there. You're feeding him to the Wolves. I mean, that's a tough spot to be in. Edmonton's scoring all over. They had 3 goals before Kemper goes out, and then you put Frankie in. So it's, 3-3. They both allow the same amount. So it's just a question. What do you think? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. It's a tighter race than I thought. This is why we ask these questions. We want to get your thoughts. All right, let's get out of here. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.